Hey everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. So when I was about 16, 17 years old, I was out with my cousin one weekend. He had one of these awesome hippie vans. Guys in my generation, you know what a hippie van is. Google it sometime. They're pretty awesome. It was a wild teenage weekend. And I think I probably left sometime Saturday afternoon. We didn't have cell phones, you know. If you wanted to call home, you'd have to go to a payphone. It was a weekend that I left on Saturday, got home early Monday morning. No contact with my family. The details aren't necessary to tell you what all happened that weekend, but suffice it to say, it was a time of being up to no good. When I got home that morning, my dad, who is incredibly kind, but he can be very stern, as a father needs to be sometimes, he was pacing outside, much like I'm doing right now. He's pacing outside. And I know he was, because he was outside when I got home. And I know his heart, and I know he was pacing, because his oldest son was somewhere, but he didn't know where. As a parent, you might know the feeling when you feel out of control and you don't know what's happening with your child. I stepped out of, my cousin drove in the drive, he dropped me off. I got out of the van with a bit of trepidation, if you can imagine. It wasn't something I really wanted to do at that moment, but I got out of the van. Maybe one of those moments where I had to take courage, right? Take courage in that moment. You know, you're going to, there's something to pay here. But I got out of the van, and you know what? My dad, he looked at me, and all I saw was pain and a bit of heartbreak at the trust I had broken. He didn't look at me with disdain at all. In fact, I think the only thing he said to me in that moment, I could tell he was relieved, and I think the only thing he said in that moment was, "Don't let this happen again." He didn't reject me. Instead, he gave mercy. I deserved punishment that he didn't give me. But instead, he embodied mercy. And he graciously gave forgiveness. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for the forgiveness. It was in his heart to do. It was his normal mode of operation was to extend mercy and extend grace. And this is what he did. And you know, for some of us, it is so much easier to believe in the good that comes from living in a place of grace and mercy, because this has been our life experience. Now, for others, merely talking about this subject is exceptionally difficult because humanity has been unkind. Humanity has lacked in empathy toward us. Some of you, you might have grown up in a home where, man, you were pulling C's in high school. But your parents, every time you brought that report card home, your parents looked at you. And you could tell the disappointment was there, the disapproval was there, because you hadn't pulled it up to a B. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have pulled it up to a B, but that disappointment, that look of never matching up to the expectations put out before you. Sometimes we don't grow out of that stuff. We just continue missing the mark because we missed it way back then, and then we just continue down that road. For some of us, We remember things that happened in middle school. If you're in middle school, just know that you should just let all that stuff roll right off your shoulders. Don't let it attach itself to you. Because I'm 57 years old. I still remember some stuff that happened in middle school. Maybe I'm not scarred anymore, but I was. I was. Peers are difficult, especially in middle school, sometimes throughout our young years. We want to be popular, we're not popular. We get bullied, we get belittled, and so we resist taking risks if we haven't accomplished, if we haven't gotten past those moments in our lives. The godly attributes of grace and mercy, we hold them at an arm's length. And we never let them get access to the core of who we are. But in a world where mistakes are met with swift punishment and goodwill is only for those that we deem worthy, attributes like grace and mercy, they're an absolute necessity. Grace and mercy, like they're two sides of the same coin. So we often get them confused and we misinterpret what they mean. So let's go to the dictionary for a second. In the dictionary, grace is defined as courteous goodwill, meaning it's not asked for nor deserved, but it is freely given. Mercy, on the other hand, is showing compassion and kindness to someone who we would have the power to punish or harm. My dad, he had the opportunity to punish in that moment, and he showed mercy. Mercy is the act of relieving someone's suffering. So try this on. Suppose someone attempts to rob your house, and then you learn, like you catch them in the act, and then you learn that the robber was just in a desperate situation, just needed some food, and he didn't intend to harm anyone at all. And so instead of calling the police, you choose to pardon the thief and let the matter go. Now that's mercy. That's mercy. Then you give him some food and a few dollars to get him through to his next meal. And that's grace. That's grace. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote while in prison. He wrote it to the church in Ephesus, an ancient Greek city on the port side of Greece. It was a port city in Greece. And he's writing this, and as I'm reading this in preparation for this morning, I'm struck again by the significance of grace and mercy in Paul's writing. See if you catch it here with me. And starting in verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy. Holy means to be set apart, to be set apart. And he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Why does he see us without fault in his eyes? God sees us without fault in his eyes because he now sees us, the children that have said yes to Jesus, he now sees us through the filter of that redemption. He sees us through the filter of the blood of Christ. Verse 5, God decided in advance. So before we were created, God already knew you were going to be created. He knew in advance. And he decided to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace, there it is, he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom. Some translations say, purchased our redemption. So when you think about someone in slavery, whether it is physical slavery or simply in the slavery of bondage, when we're in bondage to something, this is what he did by sending Jesus. He redeemed us through the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. And there we see the mercy that was extended to us. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. There is more grace right there. Kindness, wisdom, and understanding. So practically speaking, when we show mercy, we don't respond or act in the way that the circumstances call for. When God through Jesus shows mercy, it is by allowing for his blood to be spilled in our place, taking the place In the Levitical law, the lamb was placed on the altar, and the blood sacrifice happened to fulfill God's requirement for the Jewish people. Until the next time. See, the Jewish people would have to make a sacrifice. Until the next time. So we think of it as in terms of temporary mercy. Temporary mercy. It's a temporary act that takes care of something for now. And then another lamb would have to be slain. And then another one. And then another one. The beautiful thing about God sending Jesus is that it was a one and done. Christ died once for all. A beautiful act of mercy. Now, when we practice grace, we do so in the tradition of Jesus, who mercifully replaces the need for another blood sacrifice by going to the cross. And we often say he went to the cross willingly. But you know what? He didn't go without spending time on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember this? Asking the Father, is there not another way? Like, I'll go if this is the only way. So when you and I struggle with the things that we're called to, we're no different than Jesus. His sacrifice was a bit more than what we're asked of. Jesus, fully human, fully God, experienced everything that you and I experience. He died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. But then, he is resurrected from the dead. So he adds grace to the mercy of the death on the cross. He gives an undeserved gift. It's almost like he says through the ages to us this morning, hey, I think you're going to need this. I think you're going to need this. Have you ever bought a gift for a friend? Hey, I wanted to get this for you. Well, why would you give me this? It's because. If it's for Brenda, I might say, just because I love you. Just because I love you. If you baseline this sacrifice of Christ for us, it is for our redemption, for grace and mercy to be experienced in this life. In the musical Les Mis, Valjean, just out on parole, is found by the bishop outside in the cold and dark, and then he's brought into the bishop's home. And subsequently steals the bishop's heirloom silver, the last of its kind. Let's watch and see what happens.
Hey! Come and sir, for you are weary. And the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong.
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
Thank you. Put him down! Stay there!
Monseigneur, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
He had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God.
I love that story. The trajectory of our lives, the trajectory of our lives are shaped by our life experiences. And the question I think this morning is, what do we do? What do we do now? I mean, God has come. Grace and mercy, you guys, we can't just spill these words out. Words have meaning. We can't just regurgitate something that we sort of believe. They're words that when acted upon will bring beauty where ugly has ruled. We speak grace and mercy into every situation we walk into, beauty emerges. And by the way, some of you think that grace and mercy is for all the rest of us. Valjean, I think he thought that grace and mercy was for everyone but himself, but not for him. Maybe you don't believe grace and mercy is for you. Maybe you feel like it's out of reach, but I'll tell you this morning that where sin increases, grace increases all the more. You can't outgive, you can't out-sin God. Maybe you feel like you've never achieved enough good to get to God because, like, every time you start up that ladder, you get up two rungs, you're trying to get to God, and you fall back off. You fall all the way back to the ground. What if you were able to see that when you fall, Jesus actually catches you, that he doesn't dispose of you? Because we all miss the mark. We all break a rung every once in a while. What if the ladder doesn't exist? What if you have direct access to Jesus? What if you believed a pack of lies? What if you've been told something that isn't true? What if you've told yourself some stuff that isn't true? What if Jesus is for you and really does work out all things according to his good plan for you? What if? If we go into verse 11 in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we'll read these words where it says, Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his good plan. Listen, friends. When the chips are down, when we have a vacuum, when there seems to be a vacuum around us, grace and mercy is not being extended, lean into those times. Learn what you can. Grow from those times. And become who God has called you to be. Blogger Judy Ponio says that in order to experience grace and mercy, in order to receive grace and mercy, we have to do three things. We have to recognize, we have to accept, and we have to grow. So to be able to respond fully to grace and mercy, we must first recognize our need for it. It's imperative that we humbly accept that we are sinners. I like to call it, we're mistakers. We're mistakers. That's really what it means. When we sin, we fall short. We fall short of the good that we can do. So we're sinners and we're imperfect. Pride has to go. Humility has to rise up. And when this happens, you'll experience a shift in focus away from yourself, and you'll become more outward focused, less self-centered, and more focused on those around you. When we recognize this, we have to make another decision, because our reception, our reception of grace and mercy, it requires action. See, we can say yes and amen all day long. But when we say those words without curiosity, when we say it without any stamina to explore what God is moving in us, we've done nothing more than just repeated some words. And maybe it gives the impression that we're all good. Maybe that's why we say some of these things. We say the right things, we do the right things, but the truth is what we keep telling ourselves and what we allow our minds to go to. So this is what we truly believe. Our actions betray us. So whatever it is that we truly believe, that is what we do regardless of what our mouth speaks. Now I know that we're in a new year, right? A new year. But a new year doesn't mean that the circumstances of the old year haven't followed you right into the new year. Sometimes we wish it would be done. It'd be done. The old year would be done, right? But the truth is, it comes with us. And perhaps just like your previous relationship, perhaps your old marriage, it follows you. If you don't take care of yourself, if you don't take care of what you can be responsible for, the old you follows you just like the old year follows you. Maybe the old job didn't work out. Maybe you get a new one. Job didn't work out, I'm going to get a new one. But lo and behold, the new one turns out to be not the right one either. And maybe it's because you haven't become the right one. Maybe it's because you haven't become the right one. So be courageous. Be courageous in these days. Take the opportunity to step into the new. But that requires recognition. And it requires recognizing that we need to be accepting. So that's the second one. Accept what God is offering. Recognizing that God has given His grace. He's given His mercy for free. He never asks anything in return. So it's our move. It's our move. We get to decide what we will do. So we have to accept what we recognize we need. We can choose, or we can step away from it and ignore it. But when we accept grace and mercy, we begin to grow in the love of God. And that's the third one. Grow. Recognize, accept, and grow. Something that grows requires time. You plant something, it requires time. It requires us to nurture it and feed it in order for it to grow. And growth is not it's nothing more than a journey. Like we are on a journey. And sometimes we lack patience for ourselves. We want to make a decision today, and tomorrow, let it be. Well, the tomorrow might be a long ways down the road. But the first point, The first step is to making that decision, and then let the journey take care of the roots and feed those roots, get them down deep, and then bear fruit. At some point, all trees that are fruit-bearing, they'll bear fruit if properly nurtured. So as we become our perspective, if we become the person that God's called us to be, our perspective will adjust, our actions will change to include acts of kindness and compassion that are going to impact the world around us. It doesn't happen overnight, and that's where we sometimes are trying with all our might, and sometimes I want to just say, all right, human effort is absolutely essential. But what do you do when human effort isn't enough? Can you rest in the knowledge that God is working all things out for your good? Can you rest in the knowledge that He is directing your paths? Trust me when I tell you, the path for very, very few of us is straight. It's crooked. We make left turns, and we thought we were going straight, and instead it goes left. And we work our way over, we figure out what we're supposed to learn there, and then we keep going. This is the journey of life. This is the journey of leaning into grace, to leaning into mercy. To recognize your need, accept the grace and mercy that is offered, and then grow in your understanding and actions. Would you guys just stand with me? See, we've all seen what happens when what has been hidden is exposed. You hear me? We've all seen what happens when what is hidden is exposed. When what has been simmering below the surface makes its way forward. We've all seen the implications, the disastrous results of, listen, mercy withheld and grace refused. We all see what happens when mercy is withheld and grace is refused. When we refuse the free gift of God, this gift of grace, we refuse the possibility of redemption and of restoration. When we refuse, when we hold at arm's length this gift of grace and this act of mercy, we're saying no to a future of hope and yes to a future of pain and the familiarity of stumbling toward the next offer of grace. A lot of us have stumbled onto the next offer of grace. But here's the deal. When we hear the good news, Scripture tells us, it calls us to not delay, but to step into the moment and receive the grace that is offered. Romans 6:23 says it like this, and I'm paraphrasing. This is my version. You'll see the real one up there. Because living in a place of sin is living in a place of spiritual death, but the free gift of God's grace is eternal life through Jesus. You guys, our ability to be generous with our whole lives and the level of gratefulness that we express is indicative of our understanding of the love of God, of His grace, and of His mercy. I believe the call of God on every one of us that says, I follow Jesus, is to be billboards of His love, of His grace, and of His mercy. And by the way, somebody may hear me talking about grace and mercy and say, what about truth? What about truth? Well, we don't subscribe to grace and mercy and throw out truth. Because grace and mercy without truth is just hogwash. It's baloney. You got to have truth in the mix as well. All grace without truth is just lying. But truth telling with generous amounts of grace, that is an action that is both beautiful and it is redemptive. Be gracious, but tell the truth. This means that we know who we are. We know whose we are. And we don't bend and burn with every turn of the wind. We stay focused. We turn our face toward the future. We grab a hold of salvation. The salvation that is ours, and it is yours, and it is yours. Salvation that is available to all of us. Life is often difficult. I'll just acknowledge that. We all thought 2019 was bad, and then 2020 comes around. And then the first week of 2021 comes around and kicked me in the butt. I don't know about you, but 2021 hasn't proved to be all that, it's not been easy. So life is difficult. It can be stressful. And you know what? Have you ever thought about life being like a pot of boiling water? You might have heard about this. When life is like a pot of boiling water, it's like we have to think about what happens to a carrot in a pot of boiling water. I know it's Sunday morning, and the brain waves might not be quite connecting yet, but what happens to a carrot in a pot of boiling water? It gets soft, right? It gets soft. What happens to an egg when you drop it into a pot of boiling water? It gets hard, that's right. We have a choice. We get put into hot, boiling water, what are we going to do in those times? Get soft like a carrot? I'm going to back off. Or do we put up the walls and wall ourselves in and say, I'm going to harden my heart. I'm going to harden my heart. There's another option, though. What happens when a coffee bean gets put in a pot of boiling water? What happens? That's good, right? That's really good. That's really good. Because you know what happens? The coffee bean doesn't get soft. It doesn't get hard. It actually transforms the water. It transforms the water. It gets put in the hot water. But the presence of the coffee bean, ground or unground, will transform that water into something pretty amazing. That's what we get to decide to do. We get put in that hot pot of boiling water. And we get to decide, are we going to be a carrot? Are we going to be an egg? Are we going to be like a coffee bean?
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.